You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, especially now since our annual forecast model was published last week, and I think those who are tracking the major markets, everything from crude oil to gold to the Dow Industrials, for example, lithium, uranium, silver, might want to look at the forecast, cyclical forecast for each of these markets. And to get that, you go to VRTrader.com and you enter the promo code 2022 half off when you get to the VR Forecaster order page, and you get 50% off of that annual report. It's a one-time report we put it out every year since 1987. So we built a pretty decent record. Nothing is 100%, but if you look on the homepage of my website, VR Trader, you'll see examples of what the model called for the Dow Industrials last year, published at the beginning of the year, and what it called for Bitcoin at the beginning of last year. So again, you know, you put it together with other indicators and so forth, but it gives you a potential general sense of where the market is heading. So I keep doing this all these years, and I don't think I'll ever stop doing it, because if you look back, you see, gee, hey, that was a pretty good picture of the year ahead. You know, why didn't I do it? So I'm going to continue to do it. Anyway, that's the promo code, 50% off. You can use that same promo code, 2022F off, for any of our other newsletters as well. And as I generally do this time, I generally make that disclosure. I'm a newsletter publisher. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't provide financial advice. We just do research and give you all the stock market ideas and direction and segments to go from there.
Yeah, and I'd like to just mention that VR Trader was one of the top all-time gold timers named in the last edition of the Timer Digest, and also the number one ranked percentage gains from the Vancouver World Outlook Conference. Not bad credentials, Mark.
Well, thank you very much for that. You know, we do our best, and we're still here. We consider ourselves survivors. We've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, the key is knowing when you're wrong to get out and adjust your thinking accordingly to the markets. For example, in looking at the markets today, you know, there was some, you know, economic news, which, you know, I don't hold much weighed in, you know, Labor Department reports, for example, on the initial jobless claims, and Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia came out with a report showing manufacturing activity actually picked up a little bit. But, you know, I don't trust government reports. I trust or respect more of the industry related reports by private industry, not what the government does. It tends to be politically motivated, or they just can't get their numbers right, because on so many occasions, as you know, they revise their numbers and you find out they really weren't what they thought they were. So, but the bottom line is, because of that, supposedly in my technical work, I generated what I call negative volume reversal today in just about all the indexes. And as I've cautioned, you know, we are in this time frame, which stretches into, you know, starts from the Groundhog Day in early February all the way to the vernal equinox on March 21st, that, you know, there could be a sizable correction at some point. So we've seen a lot of rotation in the market anyway. But, you know, I know the indexes have held up there, but a lot of individual stocks haven't. So I would still consider myself a bull because of the economic change, which is hopefully coming here in America due to the political change here. And but, you know, you're still in a cyclical pattern where you can get the rug pulled out from underneath you here if you're not careful. So that's the value of subscribing to our newsletter.
How would you describe what's going on in the stock markets right now? Or is it very sector specific?
Very stock specific, and I'll bring up a story. I may have touched on this last week. You know, I love, you know, when they really nail stocks, when they really take them down, a particular name, you know, they really kill, and that gives us an opportunity to buy it cheaper. And This is something I've, you know, really been following over the years very carefully. And, you know, I feel part of it is manipulation in the market based on my experience as a floor trader. But generally, you know, one of the old rules of manipulation is that if you're looking to accumulate stocks, you knock them down and you hit the bids and you drive buyers out of the market, and you're the one who becomes the buyer. And conversely, if you're looking to unload stocks, you run it up, you know, generally with good news. And it gives you a chance to unload the stocks. And I just, again, I saw this from my practical experience on the floor. So, you know, many brokerage firms, investment banks, you know, front-running information. It's just unfortunate, but that's just the nature of the beast. So long and short is, you know, one particular stock got really hit here in the last few weeks. And it's actually in our cannabis letter. It's a company called Constellation Brands. But actually they produce the Modelo beer and the Corona beer, along with whiskeys and other kinds of stuff. But they're the company that invested, I believe it was over $1 billion in Canopy Growth a few years ago, which really took that stock way up to the upside. You know, of course, it didn't work out for them. They still own shares in Canopy, which is, you know, trading at a couple bucks a share, because their whole, you know, cannabis business went to hell, so to speak. It really didn't do well. Though there have been American companies that did okay, but who knows, maybe they'll turn it around, bad management and so forth. But Constellation owned a big piece of that, so that hurt the company a bit, I suppose. But their business was still doing good in the wine business and the beer business. If you watch TV, at least here in the U.S., you run and see all these Modelo and Corona beer commercials. I think mostly Modelo. So anyway, the stock dropped from about $250 down to about $160. So it immediately attracted me, but just for that theory, you know, that when they really nail them like that, that's usually an opportunity to shake out the weak sisters and get long the stock. So, you know, we put it on our recommended list, and I was, you know, buying a little myself and so forth. And turns out just, I think it was Friday or Monday of this week, Warren Buffett, his Berkshire Hathaway company, and his investment group announced, among other things, that they just took a position in Constellation Brands. And this was, in his words, or in the words that describe what he does, as a classic example of value investing. So when Warren Buffett and I were seeing the same thing, and I'm not comparing myself to him in any way in terms of, you know, knowledge of the market or success in the market, but we sort of look at the same kind of stuff, is what I'm saying. And after that stock really came down, it presented value, he decided, I think they put over $1 billion into the stock, and we're, you know, we're in it right now, because I believe that as Warren Buffett, it is value in Constellation Brands, regardless of their poor investment in the marijuana space a few years ago, and just the fact that it's overdone to the downside. So it's been trading around, and just I generally don't like to talk about individual names on air about stuff, but this tied in so beautifully with what we had thought and what, you know, made me feel so good when the announcement came out that Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, had taken in a big investment position in the stock. So it was a really a big story for me, both personally, just making me feel good, and in terms of the subscribers who saw the name on their list and saw that Warren Buffett, you know, bought it as we were buying it. Actually, we were in it a little bit before the announcement came out. So that's, you know, just an interesting sidelight of you know, working with us and the nature of the markets.
I was going to say, who would ever thought that pot would go to pot?
Right. It did. It did. And, but, you know, now here in the U.S., you know, we've discussed the subject, you know, often, but apparently the new people that Donald Trump has nominated to run the DEA, that evaluates, you know, the Drug Enforcement Agency, that's what the DEA is, apparently are not sympathetic to cannabis or marijuana, and actually have been quoted as saying they believe that marijuana is an entry-level drug, which is not a new theory at all. I mean, I've known this for years, even though it does have value to a lot of people, and I support it, particularly with those that find, you know, medicinal benefits in it. But that doesn't sound too good for the rescheduling of marijuana. The DEA has it scheduled one now and has for years, which is the highest, most dangerous level, which doesn't really really classify it correctly, because it's not a dangerous drug in that sense, as others that are classified up there in Schedule 1 are. but now it doesn't sound like it's going to get rescheduled. So the marijuana stocks are not very happy right now because they were sort of counting on that rescheduling. They've been talking about it for over a year, year and a half. You had Harris, the vice presidential candidate under Joe Biden, out there doing presentations about how they're so pro-cannabis and how they're looking to get it rescheduled. And then here we have the election, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And then you still have that Banking Act issue where, you know, it's still illegal in the U.S., even though legal in many states, federal level. So in terms of, the risks of doing business with it are that it could get confiscated. And if not, in fact, it's treated as a illegal substance, and it's not, and the Banking Act doesn't allow you, the Banking Act doesn't exist, so it doesn't allow you to conduct business with an illegal substance. It has to be changed. Those who file their tax returns in the U.S. in the cannabis business find out that they can't deduct expenses because the IRS says you can't deduct expenses in an illegal business. So it's the most crazy situation here, and I don't know how fast this is all going to get straightened out, so it doesn't sound too good. We're getting off a little bit on a tangent on the cannabis, but it does tie into Constellation Brands' small ownership in that sector, but I don't think the reason for the decline in the stock, I think, was that I believe liquor sales had declined a bit, even though apparently their beer is doing okay. So in any event, it's a trade. I'm not married to the stock, and I'm not married to Constellation Brands. I just have been tracking it because its connection with the marijuana business, and the fact that every time I turn on television, at least here in the U.S., I seem to see a Modelo or Corona beer commercial being run. So, I always like to pay attention to what companies in the market are doing, and that's something that, really caught my eye.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
Well, you can't complain. It's, up there at new highs, and just a lot of talk about, Donald Trump and his involvement in the gold, and believe, the speculation that we might have a gold-backed currency, and, forget the BRICS nations and their discussion that sort of went nowhere in terms of, creating this new currency and backing it by gold and so forth. Though I guess you can't dismiss that couldn't ultimately happen, but just the political uncertainty around the world, economic uncertainty, and people, the fear gauge that you see if you go to the CNN website, they put out this fear and grief, fear to greed gauge every day, and the markets are still in this fear stage a bit, which is sort of crazy when you think about it, because most people are very passive, and the S&P actually made new highs within the last day or so. So there hasn't been any dramatic events other than these sudden rash of airplane crashes all over the country, or at least here in North America, even in Canada. So there doesn't seem to be any dramatic. There was talk about that asteroid again, that by the year 2032, it was 3-4% chance that it could hit the Earth.
3.3 now.
Is it 3.3 now?
Yeah, it keeps going up.
Yeah, so, but you think by 2032, our technology is so advanced that more so than people really realize that they're going to probably either blow it up or redirect it way before it gets here. And speaking about that, since we got onto that subject more on my side than related to your question, one of the big stories for me this week, and literally I jumped out of the chair and made me feel really good because I've been talking about this on this show and my newsletter and for friends and family for literally decades. There's a company called Tuttle Capital, and they announced on Fox News that they're going to launch a UFO-focused ETF targeting, of all things, alien technology-inspired companies. Now, I've been talking about this for so long. I've probably been talking about it since I've been a teenager. But basically, this all goes back to the crash landing of alien craft and the re-engineering of alien technology. And this goes way back, and there's the talk about happened in the Black Forest in Nazi Germany and all the way to the Roswell incident in 1947. But what the government has been doing, because I believe there were crashes and a lot of stuff was, you know, taken off secretly but given to private companies, not to the government itself. So, you know, they couldn't use the Freedom of Information Act now to get information that private companies are working on. They have been for decades. So they've been re-engineering or reverse engineering alien craft. And we have a lot of the stuff that we see in the skies, the UAPs and so forth and so on, are more than likely the re-engineered or, you know, reverse engineered versions of what was crashed. And they're performing, you know, feats that are just super science in terms of their ability to fly and travel. And there is an organization, the Secret Space Program, been around for decades, and they have access to a lot of this technology. And much of that is allowed us to do a lot of things, you know, between here and the moon and other places that nobody believes that has even happened, which has happened, in my belief, through my sources and my research. But the fact that a company on Wall Street is actually going to launch a UFO-focused ETF alien technology inspired companies. In other words, what they're saying is the companies, whether it's Lockheed Martin, you know, Rockwell, Raytheon, you name it, Boeing, have been secretly working on technology that has been given to them as a result of, you know, crashes and a lot of stories from the Area 51 going way back about craft being worked on back then, and it was covered up, and others have come out, some, you know, disclosure regarding what's happening there. And in fact, there was supposed to have been a big disclosure. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm getting all excited about this because, you know, I mentioned it before now, but there's a research scientist, but actually a doctor, Dr. Stephen Greer. And he's been on, I don't know, Newsmax. I don't know if he's been on Fox News here in the U.S. So you can go to Google and just Google Dr. Stephen Greer. And he's been a leading analyst, even though he was actually a family doctor originally or a surgeon. And he got into the UFO field. Tons of videos. And he's been doing this for many, many years. It's got to be about 20, 25 years. Exactly the subject that I'm talking about now without repeating it all. And supposedly before the U.S. election, he was interviewed on national TV here in the U.S. I think it was on Newsmax here, which is not the major news outlet, but still widely followed, that there's going to be a big disclosure of a lot of the secret stuff. A lot of it's already been before Congress here, by the way. There actually had hearings, and there was a fellow who came out. His name was Drausch is his name, and he had talked about alien bodies and alien craft and reengineering right in front of the U.S. Congress, and there was an investigative panel came out last year, but, you know, not much coverage about that. It's, you know, people sort of laugh about it, but Greer was supposed to come out, and he actually came out and said there's supposed to be a big disclosure about this just prior to the U.S. election, and it didn't happen. I'm just wondering what happened. It could be that they were told, once again, as is always the case, don't say anything. It's going to mess everybody up and whatever. But now with DOGE and the firings in the U.S. government and the cutting back on the budget and the getting into the U.S. books and stuff and finding all the secret stuff and money, and it's really a scandal beyond belief. You know, they might start up digging out some of these monies that were siphoned over the years because they had to pay for the secret space program some way, and it probably came through a lot of the stuff that Elon Musk is going to find out about, and maybe it'll come out another way. But hey, where's that money going? Oh, it was built this spilled this saucer craft that flies between here and the moon, but we don't talk about it. It may come out, but I was a little disappointed that the Stephen Greer a prediction that we would get some big revelation here just before or after the U.S. election would occur, and it didn't occur. But the fact that, you know, Wall Street is actually creating an ETF and saying, in effect, that these companies, you know, that are involved in super science and secret technologies and government work are probably the place you should invest, because if they have re-engineered alien craft and created probably these UAPs that we're seeing flying all over the place, you might want to invest in these companies, which you may have already invested in. You know, you might already be in Lockheed Martin or Raytheon and so forth. So, just interesting, really interesting stuff. But the fact that it was even a headline on Wall Street acknowledging, and that's the key word, acknowledging alien technology-inspired companies is light years beyond anything anyone would ever believe would have been stated. And I've been talking, again, about this for decades. So it doesn't seem to be earth-shattering to many people. I'm happy that it's out. Whether we're going to find out more, Jim, probably not. But, you know, maybe we'll find out, you know, what they're actually building and maybe give us a demonstration of it instead of leading us to believe or inferring that it's a craft from another planet, which might have inspired its creation, but we already have it. So real interesting stuff, and that really sort of made my week. So I had a real good week because when I saw the story on the UFO ETF coming out and calling the shots on Constellation Brands, it was a wild week for me and VR Trader.
Maybe Boeing should learn from the aliens how to keep doors on their airplanes.
Right. So the one division that's building the airplanes is not the division doing the alien craft, apparently, right? You know, I mean, there's there's a company in Las Vegas that has a aerospace company.
Hughes. Hughes from Howard Hughes.
Yeah, that you use, but there's another fellow there who's been really active in stuff. His name escapes me for the second. I don't know why it's just blurred out of my head here, but there's another big operation in Las Vegas, and the fellow who he was involved with, this big ranch up in Utah that there are a lot of History Channel specials on. Mm-hmm. They were looking at alien activity and so forth. But anyway, he's got an aerospace company in Vegas, and apparently he was interviewed on national TV about his belief in the existence and so forth. But I think it's because his company was actually working on some of the reverse engineering of the craft. So again, I apologize. You would know the name immediately. It's not Howard Hughes, but Hughes may have had something to do with that too in the past. Remember, this has been going on now since the 1940s. This is a 70-year-old story. This is not just something new. So a lot of history here. It's like the disclosure supposedly we're going to be hearing on the John F. Kennedy assassination. Donald Trump signed that'll be released. But will we really get it, or will the release be didacted in the way that you can't really read everything and locked out? I know even he's definitely not my favorite president, but Obama left the office. Just before he left the office, he released that a lot of the freedom of information stuff on UFOs should come out, and he signed an executive order saying it all should come out and release it all. So when they finally got all the documents, you look at them, and you know, half the pages are blacked out, and we weren't allowed to see everything that was in the release, even though officially it was released. And I wonder if that's going to happen with the Kennedy papers as well. So unfortunately, disclosure doesn't necessarily mean full disclosure, which is very disappointing to enthusiasts like myself.
What's going on with uranium?
It's been in the cellar. I put charts every day up on the uranium chart, and in the last 6 months, it's just been slowly moving down. I'm talking about the physical uranium. And how can I explain that any more than can I explain why it was going up so strong just the year prior? So I guess it was the anticipation of the re-engineering of nuclear plants and the refunding of some, restoring previous nuclear plants like Three Mile Island, and the demand expectation for the energy that we needed to power the AI computers. And I think part of it is that the realization, and I'm giving my opinion, it may not be the case at all, but I think it's because we got ahead of ourselves. In other words, it takes time to get all these nuclear facilities back up and running. In some cases, it could be 2 or 3 years, and the anticipation, the price got way ahead of reality. So it's going to be a while till those nuclear operations are going to be active and powering the AI equipment that everybody got so excited about. So what's happened? And one of the areas that I'm also proud of, because we had called the rally in natural gas in our newsletter as well, which had a nice run here this past few days. And the talk on the street is that, nuclear is going to take a while, so maybe we could use natural gas in the meantime, since it's so cheap. and can get us up and running and generate the electricity we need for the AI equipment and the computers and so forth. So it may be, you know, uranium down for a while and natural gas up, all related to AI energy demands. And that may explain, you know, why uranium came down now, because it's not as widely needed as we had thought at the time.
Cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, what's the trend there?
Love it. I just can't tell you how excited I am. But, you know, you got to take a couple-year perspective. I mean, you know, it could happen in 2 days or 2 years. I mean, Bitcoin is probably easily going to, you know, 150,000, 200,000 at some point. Some say it could be a million. But, you know, it could drop to 75,000 first, and it's, you know, trading in the 90s. And there's so many out there. I mean, I personally own a bunch of the cryptos, and we talk about them in our blockchain newsletter, which is one of the letters you can sign up for. But some good friends of mine have expressed the opinion, and I agree with them, that the biggest percentage gains that you may see in your investment portfolio in coming years and maybe months could be in the crypto space versus the stock market. In other words, you know, there's a one little crypto by the name of XRP, which is created by a company called Ripple. And Ripple had a lot of SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, controversy going on. Apparently, they won most of the cases that were brought against them. But the company itself, Ripple, is supposed to go public this year, from what I hear. And the little XRP, which is a little crypto, was trading down around 35, 40 cents, you know, within the past year. Got up to about $3.80 a couple months ago. Now it's trading around $2.70. But just on that little Ripple XRP, I mean, you know, it was like 10 times on your money in a year, you know, and that could happen again. So, and there's a lot of talk internationally that XRP could be used, you know, and not necessarily replace Bitcoin, but be another very valuable crypto. But there are a bunch of others, and there's a whole bunch of them listed in our blockchain newsletter. So I agree with the thought, and it's not only my own, that, you know, and again, you got to take a time perspective here. You know, it could be 6 months or 6 years, but the gains that could come in this sector because of its wide acceptance. Donald Trump is behind crypto. He's talking about creating a Bitcoin, you know, asset for the U.S. I don't know exactly how they would structure this, but, you know, create some type of reserve with Bitcoin, as well as gold, too. I mean, he's very pro-gold. Also, they're talking about auditing Fort Knox, by the way. That's another story that came out this past week. And I'm sure if it's really audited and every vault is open, I think we might have some interesting disclosure there as well, because just like everything else the government does, a lot of lies and a lot of secrecy involved. But that should be interesting if we ever get a full Fort Knox investigation underway. But as far as Trump and his support of Bitcoin and crypto, I think that's a big component to belief that my belief and others that, you know, you want to have a position in some of the crypto names. You know, you don't put all your money in at one time, but you should have a position. It's like, should you own gold? And the answer is yes. And how much gold should you own? And some advisors say 5% of your money could be in gold, and that's a number that's been used for many, many years. And it might also apply to crypto. So definitely a diversified portfolio of some cryptos with for a small percentage of, you know, a person's investments is probably something we write about. Others have talked about. So I think that's something that you should support.
Yes. When Germany asked for its gold back from the United States, where they asked it to be stored, several of the returned bars of gold were actually tungsten that was gold plated.
How do you like that?
Yeah. So is there any gold in Fort Knox has always been a big question. Hasn't been audited since when? 1965?
And I don't even know if that was a full audit. There was a 1970s video, I believe I saw, where they went into Fort Knox. They walked out all these halls. They opened just one vault, you know, they had just one room, and they took pictures of it. And then, like, I don't know how many dozens and dozens of other rooms there are they didn't go into or didn't open up. You know, just like this Doge disclosure that's now underway with Elon Musk. I mean, I'm sure there's fraud there. I mean, they just haven't shown it. There's reasons for that. It may have already been spent or given away or sold, and the government doesn't want you to know. And it could be, you know, one of the reasons that now gold's starting to take off a little bit, because, you know, the realization is there is a shortage, and the disclosure of it not really being there could really drive the price up much, much higher. And you need to look back and see what Russia and China has been doing in accumulating gold at historic levels the last few years. So they obviously know something. So, yeah, you want to keep your gold. I mean, that's for sure. And you want to keep your crypto. And, you know, looks like interest rates may uptick here a little bit. I see some of the tea leaves here indicating that rates may go higher here, as I've been talking about for a while, because we don't really get the real inflation numbers, which means the Fed's not lowering rates anytime soon, which is not going to help the stock market, even though that's not the big reason for the stock market going down. It's a psychological factor. So gold and crypto might still be a decent place to keep money, particularly gold in this environment. But, you know, right for now, gold is king. You know, finally got there after all these years of people who were patient.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.